ended with Brahmaji instructing Prithu Maharaj to stop this sacrifice. So we ended with this 35th verse where Brahmaji says, Kratur viramatam esha deveshu dur avagraha dharma vyatikaro yatra pakandair indra nirmitaihi. My dear Prithu Maharaj, please stop this sacrifice, because Indra, because of this sacrifice, he has become very stubborn, and because of his activities, dharma has been destroyed. He assumed various garbs of various sannyasi, you know, different kinds of sannyasis, and following him, people have taken up this path of adharma. So please stop this sacrifice, you don't need it. Like that. So this is where we ended. So we'll continue now.
Edir Indropa Samsrishtaihi Pakandair Haribir Janam Priyamanam Vichakshvenam Yaste Yagyadruk Ashwamut. Vichakshva, just see, Hriyamanam Enam Janam, just see how people are getting carried away. Ebir Haribir Pakandai. Haribir means very attractive. Okay. So you know, their activities are very attractive. So people are naturally getting attracted to them. And see how they are getting attracted. If so many apasampradayas start just because of your not giving up the sacrifice, is it really worth it? Indra upasamsrishtai. Every time he steals your horse, a new apasampradaya is starting. So I think you should give it up now. Because he is very hell-bent, he is very stubborn. He has decided not to let you complete this sacrifice. And if you also are stubborn like him and not give up, then who is the loser? The common man is the loser. With so many, you know, imposter sampradayas starting, they will lose out on the proper knowledge. And these people are very attractive also. So it's very dangerous. Oh, I think we saw this verse. We completed this last time. Like it was mentioned, na, that it was mentioned, na, that they were like very sweet speaking, very closed. Oh, aa rahe ho, thoda din ke liye aaye guys, band ho gaya. They are very sweet speaking and very, you know, like if you see the you know, Bhagavat Saptas and all those things, very musically, very sweet, and you know, very nicely presented, very attractive. And pastimes also, very attractive pastimes they will choose to speak on. So therefore, you know, they are like quite attractive, and they will not insist on many rules and regulations also, and that is all the more attractive to people like that.
Bhavan paritratum ihavatirno dharmam jananam samayanurupam venapachara davaluttamadya taddehato vishnu kalasivainya.
O Prithu Maharaj, Bhavan iha avatirnaha, you have appeared in this world. tad dehatah asi, from Vena's body, Vishnu Kala, as a portion of Lord Vishnu. Okay? For what purpose? Dharmam paritratam iha avatirnah. You have appeared in this world in order to deliver dharma. Adya samayanurupam, that dharma which is suitable to be practiced at this time, jananam, for people. Avaluptam vena apacharad, which was completely, which had become lost because of Vena's misdeeds. So you remember the purpose of your descent. The purpose of your descent is to establish, re-establish dharma, which had been lost due to Vena's misdeeds. But now, by being attached to performing this 100th sacrifice, you know, it's sort of defeating your, the purpose of your descent. It's increasing the apasampradayas and adharmic activities more and more. So therefore, give up this attachment to performing this 10th, this 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, like that he is requesting. Srila Prabhupada writes, Vishnu's act of killing the demons and protecting the devotees is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. He carries disc and club for killing and lotus and conch shell for protection. And this, and Vishnu sometimes descends as Lord Krishna or Lord Ram, and sometimes in his Shaktyavesha avatar. So Prabhupada writes here, even people who are strongly preaching bhakti are understood to be empowered by Lord. Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tara Pravartan. If one finds fault with such a personality, he is considered to be an offender, even if he may dress like a Vaishnava. That is the first offense, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for spreading the holy names of the Lord. There are many instances in the Shastra, so one should never... So Prabhupada says that those who are spreading the glories of the Supreme Lord and His mission, they are also like Shakti Avesha Avatar only, and to find fault with them or blaspheme them is a very big offense, like that. Because in this verse, Brahmaji is addressing Prithu Maharaj as a Shakti Avesha Avatar. You are a Shakti Avesha Avatar, you have specifically appeared on this planet to establish dharma. So therefore, you should act in a way that is not counterproductive to the purpose of your descent. Like that he is telling. So Prabhupada, taking a cue from that, he says, yes, Shakti Avesha Avatars also appear, but people who have appeared to spread the mission of the Lord, because preachers are also establishing dharma only in one sense, establishing the supreme dharma. He says they are also like Shakti Avesha Avatar. Anyone who finds faults with them or blasphemes them, he is committing a big offense, like that. Satvam vimrishyasya bhavam bhavam prajapate Sankalpanam Vishwasrajam Pipi Prihi Aindrim Chamayam Upadarna Mataram Prachandata Tandapatam Prabhojahi. O Prajapate, Asya Bhavam Vimrishya, please consider the auspiciousness of this world. Vishwasrajam Sankalpanam Pipi Prihi means, please complete. How does Prabhupada translate? Fulfill or complete the vow of the progenitors. ఐంద్రీం చ మాయాం అండ్ డిస్ట్రాయ్ ది ఇల్యూజన్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ఇంద్ర. ఉపధర్మ మాతరం విచ్ ఇస్ లైక్ ద బ్రీడింగ్ గ్రౌండ్ ఫర్ ఇమిటేషన్ ధర్మ. ప్రచండ పాకండ పతం విచ్ ఇస్ ది పాత్ ఆఫ్ ఫార్మిడబుల్ హెరిటిక్స్. హెరిటిక్స్ మీన్స్ పాషండీస్. సో దర్ ఫోర్ హీ సేస్ దట్ కన్సిడరింగ్ ది ఆస్పీషియస్నెస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ప్లీజ్ ఇఫ్ యూ గివ్ అప్ గోయింగ్ ఫర్ దిస్ 100th అశ్వమేధ యజ్ఞ ఇట్ విల్ ఫుల్ఫిల్ సో మెనీ పర్పసెస్. ఫస్ట్ ఇస్ ఇట్ విల్ ఫుల్ఫిల్ ది వౌ ఆఫ్ ద ప్రోజెనిటర్స్. ప్రోజెనిటర్స్ హియర్ మీన్స్ దోస్ హు హావ్ క్రియేటెడ్ యూ బై చర్నింగ్ వేణాస్ బాడీ. దే హావ్ క్రియేటెడ్ యూ సో దట్ యూ వుడ్ రీఎస్టాబ్లిష్ ధర్మ. సో దేర్ వౌ వుడ్ బి ఫుల్ఫిల్డ్. ఓకే, అండ్ యూ క్యాన్ డిస్ట్రాయ్ ద ఇల్యూజన్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ఇంద్ర బై గివింగ్ ఇట్ అప్. బికాస్ ఇఫ్ యూ గివ్ ఇట్ అప్ ఇంద్ర విల్ ఆల్సో స్టాప్ డూయింగ్ ఆల్ దీస్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ట్రిక్స్. అండ్ థర్డ్ థింగ్ సెకండ్ టూ థింగ్స్ యూనో అండ్ బై దిస్ మోర్ అపసంప్రదాయస్ విల్ నాట్ బి క్రియేటెడ్. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ ప్లీజ్ గివ్ అప్ గోయింగ్ ఆఫ్టర్ దిస్ 100th సాక్రిఫైస్ లైక్ దట్. So here Prabhupada writes, Brahmaji addressed Prithu Maharaj as Prajapati to remind him of his great responsibility of maintaining peace and prosperity. It is the duty of the ideal king to see that people are properly following religious principles and stop pseudo-religionists. Therefore Prithu Maharaj was asked to desist from performing the 100th sacrifice so that Indra can be stopped from producing more and more false heretics. Heretics, the word heretic in itself means one who has strayed away from the proper dharma. All the more, you know, false heretics means all the more powerful, like that. Maitreya uvacha ఇత్తం సలోక గురునా సమాదిష్టో విశాంపతిః తథా చ కృత్వా వాత్సల్యం మగోనాపి చ సందదే. ఇత్తం సలోక గురునా సమాదిష్టః, దస్ బీయింగ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్టెడ్ బై బ్రహ్మాజీ హూ ఇస్ ది గురు ఆఫ్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్, విశాంపతిః ఋతు మహారాజ్ ది కింగ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ హోల్ వరల్డ్, మగోనా అపి చ సందదే. మఘోణ ఇస్ ఇంద్ర. He made peace with Indra, tatacha vatsalyam kritva, by showing him affection. He became very affectionately disposed towards Indra. Matlab, he had nothing in his heart. He said, okay, fine. And immediately he became very affectionate to Indra. This shows, you know, how much he was actually attached to performing that 100th sacrifice. When he was told, he immediately gave up. Not only did he give up reluctantly, with lot of malice or hurt feelings towards Indra, nothing. It is mentioned that magonapi kritva vatsalyam, he was willing to show affection to Indra like that. So Srila Vishnu Jagadagur writes here, he says, though Indra was elder and was the king of the Devatas, which means from a social point of view he was greater than Prithu Maharaj, by the order of Brahmaji Prithu Maharaj showed affection to Indra. The specific kind of affection that is mentioned here is Vatsalyam. Vatsalyam means the kind of affection shown by a elder to a younger person. So even though socially Indra was like superior to Prithu Maharaj, but here Brahmaji was telling, maaf kar do usko, chhod do usko. Matlab, so he said he felt that kind of an affection towards Indra. they were equal since both are Vishuddha Sattva. But Brahma saw that Prithu Maharaj was superior because of his superior bhakti and thus instructed him to show affection to Indra. Like that.
Kritvava Bhritasnanaya Pritave Bhuri Karmane Varandaduste Varada Yetad Barhishitarpitaha.
Te Varada, the bestowers of benedictions, Tad Barhishi Tarpitaha, pleased with the sacrifice. Matlab sacrifice to katam nahi hua. Adami, it got stopped in the middle only. It did not get completed. But still, those exalted personalities who would offer benedictions after the sacrifice was successfully completed, okay, they became very pleased even though the sacrifice did not progress further. It did not get completed only. Prithave varandaduhu, still they gave all benedictions to Prithu Maharaj. Bhuri Karmane, who was the performer of great acts, he has become Bhuri Karmane by not performing the 100th sacrifice. Kritva avabhruta snanaya, after he had taken his avabhruta bath. This avabhruta bath is, it comes many times in Bhagavatam. It is like after an auspicious, you know, like after someone is coronated or after an auspicious sacrifice is performed, the yajaman takes this bath, is called avabhruta bath. Okay, so these exalted personalities who would generally give benedictions only after the sacrifice is successfully completed, with great satisfaction they bestowed benedictions upon Prithu Maharaj even though the sacrifice did not move forward at all. Srila Prabhupada writes here, yajna is meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu. But that is like watering the root or feeding the stomach. Automatically the demigods also become satisfied and they offer benedictions. Demigods are in this case all the exalted personalities. Yata taror moola nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujopashaka. So how did they become satisfied? Because Supreme Lord was satisfied with the act of Prithu Maharaj. Otherwise they would never offer benedictions. Agar sacrifice katam nahi hua, why would they give benediction? Then none of the demigods got their share of the sacrifice. They had come all the way. So, but still, they all offered their benedictions to Prithu Maharaj. Therefore, a pure devotee never asks for anything from demigods. He worships the Supreme Lord and he is supplied with all the necessities. He doesn't ask for any other thing from the demigods. If at all he asks for pure devotional service, an opportunity to serve, or as Dhruva Maharaj asks for remembrance of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, like a constant remembrance.
Vipraha satyashishastushtaha shraddaya labdha dakshinaha ashisho yuyujukshattar adirajaya satkritaha.
O Vidura, Vipraha, the Brahmanas, satya ashishaha, whose blessings come true, tushtaha, and who are satisfied, satkrita, having been worshipped by Prithu Maharaj, not only did he worship them, shraddaya labdha dakshina, and gave them donations with faith, even though the sacrifice did not move further. Ashishaha yuyujuhu adirajaya. They were also very pleased, and they also gave blessings to Prithu Maharaj.
Trayahuta mahabhago sarva eva samagataha pujita dana manabhyam pitra devarshi manavaha.
O mighty armed king, So this is, who is speaking this? The Brahmanas are addressing Prithu Maharaj. O mahabhago, O mighty armed king, sarva eva samagataha, all these people who have assembled here to witness and take part in the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, which did not get completed. Who are they? Who have assembled? The Pitrus, the sages, the devatas and human beings. Tvaya Ahuta, you only called us to participate in this Yajna. Pujita Dana Manabhyam, we all are satisfied because you have perfectly satisfied us, worshipped us with charity and respect. So even though the sacrifice did not get completed, we are very pleased with you. So we offer our benedictions to you, blessings to you, like that. So in one sense, you know, it didn't make any difference. But it made a great difference in Tutumara's life. We are going to see now how. So that brings us to the end of this chapter. So we'll start the 20th chapter. So this 20th chapter has two main parts. Being very pleased with this attitude of Prithu Maharaj, Lord Vishnu appears in the sacrificial arena. Kya ho gaya? Khatam ho gaya. So next part, how many of you have brought the next book? Oh, you have. So Lord Vishnu appears and he expresses his pleasure, congratulates Prithu Maharaj and gives him some instructions. And then Prithu Maharaj offers beautiful prayers. Okay? And then Lord Vishnu leaves after offering him benedictions. That is the subject matter of this 20th chapter. Most likely we will not be able to complete this chapter today because long purports and nice discussion points are there. Whatever we can complete, we will complete. Because I have 3 classes to complete, you know, the committed portion. Varangashan Prabhu told complete till 20th. So, 20th chapter at least. By tomorrow. But of course, we will continue further also. Huh?
First time we are ahead.
He didn't realize what he was telling, and I also didn't realize. I was bargaining with him. Hey, how is it possible? At least one chapter per class.
He asked?
Yeah. Okay. Maybe he might revise tonight. Okay, I should stay away from him. Yeah, how much over? 20 chapters. Are 3 class kali 20th chapter liya? No, I will not. Huh? Yeah, one class, but we will aram se karenge. You also don't want, so exam nahi chahiye na aapko. Maitreya uvacha Bhagavan api vaikunta sakam magavata vibhu yajnair yajnapatistushto yajyat bhuktam abhashata. Bhagavan Vaikuntaha, who is yajnapati, yajna book, the enjoyer of sacrifice, he is the enjoyer of sacrifice. He appeared even though the sacrifice did not get over. And Indra performed 100 completed Ashwamedha Yajna, Vishnu never appeared. Here is Prithu Maharaj, whose Yajna, at least okay, previous Yajnas got completed and Lord Vishnu came, that's fine. But here this Yajna did not get completed only, but still Lord Vishnu came. Bhagavan Vaikuntaha Yajnapatihi, Yajna book, Sakam Magavata Vibhu, he brought Indra also along with him. Tam tushtaha, and satisfied with Prithu Maharaj, abhashata, he spoke to Prithu Maharaj. Okay. So We'll go through this little later. This is like a summary of Lord's instructions to Indra. We'll get back to this little later. So the Lord says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Eshate Karshid Bangam Hayameda Shatasyaha Kshamapayata Atmanam Amushya Kshantumarhasi.
So he says, my dear Pritu Maharaj, Eshaha, here is that person, Akarshid Bangam Hayameda Shatasyaha. Here is the person who stopped your 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, Indra. Amushya Kshantumarhasi, you should forgive him. Kshamapayata Atmanam, and see, he is begging forgiveness from you. He has come to beg forgiveness from you. Forgive him. You please forgive him. Like that. The Lord is requesting Pritu Maharaj to forgive Indra. So then he says, Sudiya Sadavoloke Naradeva Narottamaha Nabidruhyanti Bhutebhyo Yarhi Natma Kalevaram. O Naradeva, O King, Sudiya Sadavoloke, the most intelligent devotees of this world, Narottama, who are the best amongst the human beings, Na abhidruhyanti bhutebhyo, they never harm other living entities. So therefore he is telling here to Pritu Maharaj, the most intelligent devotees, they do not harm anyone. Why? Yarhi na atma kalevaram, because they know that bodies are not the soul. They do not have misunderstanding of who is the self? Is it the body or is it the soul? They do not have any misunderstanding regarding the subject matter. They do not identify the body with the self. So therefore they never try to harm any other living entities. Okay. Therefore you should also, you are also counted among Sudhiya Sadavo Loke. You are also one of the most intelligent devotees. Therefore you should also not think about hurting Indra by wrongly identifying with the body. That's what the Lord is indicating to Pritu Maharaj. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, if a madman commits a murder, he is not convicted. So, Prabhupada is elaborating on this instruction of the Supreme Lord. Why is So not only is the devotee not identifying with the body, but when he sees another person acting inappropriately, he also sees not that person acting, but modes acting. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimod atma kartaham iti manyate. So when a devotee sees someone else acting inappropriately, then he understands, he sees the modes acting. He does not see that living entity acting. The same thing Prabhupada is writing here. If a madman commits a murder, he is not convicted. So why is Prabhupada writing this? Can you... Exactly. So he is requesting Pritu Maharaj to understand this. When Indra is acting, he is pushed by the modes. The modes are getting everything done. So that's what Prabhupada is writing here. If a madman commits a murder, he is not convicted. Similarly, the living entity is also pure, asangohi ayam purushaha. The living entity is constitutionally pure, but when he falls into the clutches of maya, he becomes a victim of the three modes. But a devotee clearly understands this principle, that
when a living entity acts, he is not acting, but he is the, it is the prakriti only which is getting the things done.
Okay. So, Prabhupada quotes this Bhagavad Gita verse from the fifth canto. Na kartatvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karma phala sanyogam swabhavastu pravartate. The embodied spirit, the master of this body, Prabhu, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All of this is enacted by the material nature. It is the material nature which gets all of this done. So, a devotee, when he sees someone else acting inappropriately, he sees the material nature acting. So, he does not become unnecessarily agitated and try to harm that other person. Okay. Actually, the jiva does not do anything. Everything is done by the modes. Therefore, an advanced transcendentalist forgives and doesn't retaliate if there is any discrepancy. Forgiveness is the quality of those advancing in spiritual knowledge. So, therefore, he is telling, neither should you identify with the body. But at the same time, when Indra is acting while identifying with the body, you should see that it is the material nature which is acting and not the spirit soul. And that's what he is indicating to Prithu Maharaj. Is it clear? Then he says, Purusha yadi muyanti tvadrusha deva mayaya shrama eva param jato dirgaya vritta sevaya adakkayam imam vidvan avidya kama karma bihi arabda iti naivasmin prati buddho nu shajjate. Yadi tvadrusha purusha, if persons like you, if exalted persons like you, muyanti deva maya, if you are bewildered by Lord's maya, shrama eva param jato, then the only result is labor. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Vidwan, a man in knowledge, pratibuddho imam kayam arabdaha avidya kama karma bihi, that man who is intelligent, after realizing that this body arises from avidya kama karma bihi, as Kunti Maharani prays, bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bihi shravana smarana arhani karishye iti kechana. So avidya, ignorance, leads to kama, improper desires, and improper desires lead to improper actions, and improper actions decide future bodies. So therefore, here Lord Vishnu is telling Prithu Maharaj that that intelligent man, after realizing that this body is a result of avidya kama karma, avidya leading to kama, kama leading to karma, understanding this, understanding that this body is a source of avidya kama karma, but how does he get this realization? Dirgaya vriddha sevaya, by long service to wise elders, by serving the exalted personalities for a long time, one gets this realization. And one who has this realization, na eva asmin kaya manushajjate, such a person is never attached to this body. So basically here, Lord Vishnu is telling Prithu Maharaj, my dear Prithu, if exalted persons like you get bewildered by Lord's maya, then shrama eva hi kevalam. The result is only labor.
Okay, actually an intelligent person, by serving the elders, he gets the realization that this body is nothing but a result of avidya, kama and karma. Therefore, he never gets attached to this body. Is it clear? So, Prabhupada here in the purport comments on this word Vriddha Sevaya. Okay? Perfect knowledge is acquired from acharyas. Therefore, parampara is the only way to receive perfect knowledge. Prithu Maharaj fell in that category. Therefore, it is mentioned that Vriddha Sevaya. So, Prabhupada writes, how did he get this? How did he become a Vidwan? How did Prithu Maharaj become a Vidwan? He says, Vriddha Sevaya. Vriddha Sevaya means what? Pranipata Pariprashna Sevaya. Surrendering humbly, serving and then inquiring from great personalities who are coming in parampara. Evam parampara praptam. So, Prabhupada writes, Prithu Maharaj fell in this category. But ordinary man, if one does not come in this parampara, if one does not receive the knowledge in parampara, then he is bewildered by Maya. It is understood that the source of his knowledge is parampara only. Maybe, see, may not be in this life. But whatever knowledge one receives in parampara and whatever spiritual progress that one makes in this life, one continues with that in the next life also. Like that. That realization is not lost. So, Prabhupada writes, the body being a creation of Maya has two types of illusory activities. First is activities for personal sense gratification and then activities for extended sense gratification. Like that. Lord Vishnu informed Prithu Maharaj that although such sacrifices set a good example for people, it was not needed for Prithu Maharaj. See, basically Prithu Maharaj was qualified for performing pure devotional service only. Okay. So he need not perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. Uska jarurat nahi. Few Ashwamedha Yajnas he can perform to set the right example for people so that they don't give up their prescribed duties. But he need not be so much attached to performing that 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. Just like Dhruva Maharaj crossed the line when he was fighting with the Yakshas. He should have defended, but then he need not have gone to such an extent to defend his brother. Same way here, Prithu Maharaj was nothing wrong in his performing the Ashwamedha Yajnas, but to again and again be hell bent in completing that 100th Ashwamedha Yajna was not appropriate. So Brahmaji came and stopped, and just like when Swayambhu Manu told, immediately Dhruva Maharaj agreed. So similarly here, when Brahmaji told, immediately Prithu Maharaj also agreed. No problem, he didn't have any issues. So Lord Vishnu informed Prithu Maharaj that although such sacrifices set a good example for people, it was not needed for Prithu's personal self. Uske liye kuch jarurat nahi hai. Naivatasya krite narto nakrite neha kaschana nachasya sarva bhuteshu kaschidatta vipashre. Such a person like Prithu Maharaj, he does not gain anything by performing prescribed duties. He does not lose anything by non-performing prescribed duties. So why should he be attached to performing the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna? He was anyway not qualified for karma. Like that. Prabhupada says, Krishna anyway tells in Bhagavad Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Mainly the karma kandiya section of the sacrifice of the Vedas, they speak only on the platform of the three gunas. Therefore, one should Nistraigunyo Bhava Arjuna. All rituals coming all rituals come under the three modes. Therefore, Arjuna was advised to transcend the three modes. Only devotional service is transcendental. So therefore, Prithu Maharaj was already on that transcendental platform. So the Lord said, why should you get attached to this 100th sacrifice? Good that you gave it up. Like that. Okay. So let's see what the Lord has told till now to Indra. So to Prithu Maharaj, he said, please forgive Indra as he is praying for forgiveness. This was the second verse. Then he said, intelligent devotees do not harm others as they do not identify with the body. Then Lord Vishnu told, the result of acting under bodily identification is useless labor. But an intelligent man is not attached to his body. Why? Because he has the realization that this body arises from actions due to desire arising from ignorance. Avidya, kama, karma bihi, jato. This body is born due to activities performed, activities performed due to improper desires arising out of ignorance. Avidya, kama, karma bihi, jato. When those actions are performed, as a result of that one gets the body. So an intelligent man understands this, and therefore he is not attached to this body. Where did he get this realization from? Dirgaya vriddha sevaya, by service to the elders for a long time, like that. So till here we have seen. Okay, so is it clear? Okay, because one of the questions would be Lord's instructions to Prithu Maharaj. In case if we complete only half of the chapter, then today I will give this question, tomorrow I will give prayers. It will be good revision. Otherwise, you know, if I give both, then it is difficult to complete the paper only. Okay. So then the Lord continues, asamsakta sharirasmin amunotpadite grihe apatye dravine vapi kahkuryan mamatam buddha. What kaha buddha, what wise person asamsaktaha asmin sharire. Saktaha means attached, samsaktaha means completely attached. Asamsaktaha means not attached, not at all attached. What wise person who is completely detached from his body, mamatam kuryat grihe apatye dravine vapi amuna utpadite. If a person is not attached to his body, then how would he be attached to things related to this body? He would certainly not be. Okay. So, if Prithu Maharaj is not attached to his body, then how would he be attached to things related to this body? Like, if I perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, I will become very famous. My children will get more wealth. I will get more wealth. I will get more fame. So, if a person is not attached to his body, then how could he be attached to things related to body? That is also not possible. That's what Lord Vishnu is telling here. Such a person who by vriddha sevaya develops detachment from his body will certainly not have attachment to things related to this body also. Prabhupada writes, The Vedic sacrifices are certainly meant to please Vishnu. There is no doubt about it. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. But by those sacrifices, one does not fully satisfy Vishnu. Why? Because it is like getting a sanction for one's own sense gratification. You are worshipping Vishnu, but because these are karmakandiya sacrifices. Okay? You just want the Lord's sanction so that you can enjoy the results of the sacrifice. So therefore, Lord Vishnu is not completely pleased by those sacrifices. Therefore, real way of pleasing Krishna is, that's why Krishna says, Nistrai Gunyo Bhavarjuna. No doubt, it is within the Vedic fold, it is recommended by the Vedas which come out of Krishna's mouth. No doubt. You are not doing a non-sanctioned activity, but it is not sanctioned for you. Because you do not fall in that category. You do not fall in the category of attached work. So that injunction is not for you. So you become Nistraigunya. Let others who are qualified for that, let them do attached work. But you come above it. You transcend that stage, like that he says, Krishna.
Eka shuddha svayam jyotir nirguno sau gunashrayah sarvago navrita sakshi niratmatmatmanaparah.
So now he established knowledge of the difference between body and soul. Now he says, higher than this knowledge is to understand the super soul. So in this verse he talks about the difference between the soul and the super soul. Okay? So basically we saw, please forgive Indra, intelligent devotees do not harm others as they do not identify with the body, and the result of acting under bodily identification is useless labor. But an intelligent man is not attached to his body because he has the realization that the body is just a result of avidya, kama and karma, and he got this realization from dirgaya vriddha sevaya. Okay? But then he said, how can such a person who is not attached to his body be attached to things or people related to this body? That is certainly not possible. Then he said, such people with knowledge of body and soul can equip themselves further with knowledge of the super soul. They can progress further in their spiritual life by further getting knowledge and realization of the super soul. So with that desire, the Lord speaks the next level. So he starts with basic difference between body and soul, and then now he is going to speak about the nature of super soul. Okay, that is verse number 7. So what is the super soul? Atma ekaha shuddha. There is only one paramatma. Eko bahunam nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. Okay. So the paramatma is one. He is shuddha, pure. Swayam jyotihi. While atma is one, ekaha, the soul is bahunam, eko bahunam. There are many souls. The paramatma is shuddha, whereas the soul is prone to get contaminated when it comes in the contact, when it comes in contact with maya. The super soul is swayam jyoti, self-revealing. Okay, whereas the living entity is he's not self-revealing. Okay, the super soul is guna ashraya. He is the shelter of gunas. He gives shelter to the gunas, whereas the three modes control the living entity. Yeah, guna ashrita. Okay. And the super soul is Sarvaga. He is all pervading. Whereas the living entity is, his zone is only his own body. He is not Sarvaga. He is Kshetraga. Only, you know. Anavrataha. The super soul is not covered by matter, but the soul is very much. Avritam jnana metena jnanina nitya vairinam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He is very much covered in his conditioned state. The super soul is Sakshi, whereas the living entity is not Sakshi. Niratma, the super soul is independent of all others, whereas the Atma is very much dependent on the super soul. Because it's the Ashraya Tattva. Atmanaha Paraha. And in this way, the super soul is different from both body and the individual soul. Like that, he establishes the knowledge about the super soul as being different from both this body and soul. He is gradually elevating, you know, he is telling that, you know, he is going to slowly establish what is the level of Prithu Maharaj. This is basic knowledge. One who has this basic knowledge also would not try to hurt others. But higher than this knowledge is the knowledge of Paramatma. And people endowed with this knowledge are called, they are like Bhakti Mishra Jnanis. They go only till liberation. And higher than them are pure devotees. And this is their nature. And you fall in this category. How could you act, you know, below even a person who has bare minimum knowledge? So slowly he is, you know, he is not accusing Prithu Maharaj, but he is just warning him that you are here, this is your qualification. So therefore, don't get carried away and act much below what you are qualified for. In order to mention this, he is, you know, slowly talking about, you know, different levels of knowledge and the kind of behavior expected from people, you know, who are so qualified, like that. Yeah, of course, it's for Indra also, provided Indra understands. Definitely it is for Indra also, but then it's quite clear that the Lord, when he came to meet Prithu Maharaj, he was like very pleased. It was almost like Krishna's meeting with Uddhava, speaking to Uddhava. Even though Maitreya was there, but sort of Krishna did not even notice Maitreya, or he didn't. So he didn't see Maitreya. It was like a very intimate discussion between Uddhava and Krishna. Similarly here, especially when we go to the future verses, it would become very clear that the Lord was so pleased with Prithu Maharaj that it is mentioned that generally Lord Vishnu's feet does not touch the ground. Just like the Devata's feet also does not touch the ground. But Lord Vishnu was so overcome with affection towards Prithu Maharaj that his feet touched the ground and he sort of slipped and he caught hold of Garuda's shoulder to balance himself. He was so much Kritva Harim Prema Bajam. So Priyavarga Samanvitam. So That is the nature of Prithu Maharaj's bhakti, that even Lord Vishnu was completely mesmerized, that he came immediately to meet Prithu Maharaj. Like that. Okay. So actually these instructions to Prithu Maharaj are little, a little bit confusing, in the sense like why the Lord is speaking all these things becomes, it's not immediately apparent. Till we go to the end of the instructions, it does not become very apparent. So therefore I have sort of made the flow so that it becomes little. Okay.
Yevam santam atmanam atmastam veda purushah najyate prakritistopi tadgunai samayi stitah.
Yaha purushah, that person, veda atmanam, who knows this paramatma. So we spoke about people who know the difference between body and soul by Vriddha Sevaya. Then he spoke about the nature of Paramatma, and in this verse he says, Yaha Purushaha, that person, Veda Atmanam, who knows this Paramatma, Santam Atmastam Santam, which is situated within the self, Prakriti Stopi, even though that person may be covered by a body, Na ajyate tad gunaihi, he is not affected by the body. Why? Saha mayi stitaha, such a person is situated in me. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachamena pranashyati, Krishna says. Nay. Not tasyaham pranashyami. What is it? Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. Yeah. He is never lost to me and I am never lost to him. Right? That's the translation. Yeah. And here he says that that person who knows that paramatma, even though he may be situated in the body, he is not affected by the gunas, because he is situated in me. Okay. So now he has spoken about a higher qualified person. One who not only knows the difference between body and soul, but he knows about the Supreme Lord in his Paramatma feature also. Okay.
Yasvadharmena mam nityam nirashi shraddayan vitaha bhajate shanakaistasya manorajan prasidati.
So he says that such a person who has this knowledge of Paramatma, what is his sadhana? He says, O Rajan, Yaha nirashihi, one who without material desire, mam nityam bhajate, worships me regularly, shraddhayan vitaha, with faith, swadharmena, through his duties, shanakaihi tasya manaha prasidati, gradually he develops a satisfied mind. Okay. So, such a person who faithfully worships me through his prescribed duties, okay, he gradually develops a satisfied mind. Okay, which means such a person is no longer agitated by someone trying to beat him, someone trying to excel him. You know, he is not afflicted by all that. He develops a very satisfied mind. Okay. So here Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur writes that having realized the above knowledge, one then endeavors by Bhakti Mishra Jnana, okay, or Bhakti Mishra Yoga, one of these two paths. One who has the knowledge of Paramatma, this is his practice as described in either 3.12 3.27 or 3.28, you know, one of these two paths such a practitioner practices, and he also slowly, gradually develops a very satisfied mind. Na shochati, na kangshati. So Prabhupada also writes in the purport. So here, if you see, if you notice carefully, both the Yoga Ruda and Yoga Rurukshu stages are indicated. Okay. Swadharmena indicates the Yoga Rurukshu stage. Arurukshur Muner Yogam Karma Karanam Uchate Yoga Rudasya Tasseva Shamak Karanam Uchate. Where does this verse come? 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Where Krishna says, in the initial stages of yoga, Yoga Rurukshu, Arurukshur Muner Yogam, Karma Karanam Uchate. The means of success is performing activities, prescribed duties. Yoga Rudasya Tasseva Shamak Karanam Uchate. And when one progresses further, goes to the higher stages of yoga, then by giving up his prescribed duties, he achieves quick success. That's how Krishna says. So here, you see, this path of Bhakti Mishra Gyan is given, which includes the knowledge of Paramatma. He says that Swadharmena. So Swadharmena indicates the early stages. In the early stages, he starts by performing his prescribed duties and develops by Nirashihi. By performing his prescribed duties without attachment to the fruits, slowly his mind becomes very stable. And he reaches a stage where he can give up his prescribed duties. Then finally, Shanakaihi, gradually, Tasya Manaha Prasidati, his mind becomes very satisfied. He reaches the Brahmabhuta stage. Brahmabhuta Prasannatma, Nashochati, Nakangshati. Samas Sarveshu Bhuteshu. So Prabhupada says, this is confirmed in Vishnu Puran. Varnashrama acharavata purushena parappuman Vishnur aradhyate panta nanyat tattosha karanam. So Prabhupada quotes this verse. Varnashrama acharavata purushena parappuman. That for a person who is in the yoga rurukshu stage, or one who is on the karma mishra bhakti stage, he has to worship the Supreme Lord by performing his prescribed duties and simultaneously worshipping the Supreme Lord also. Na anyat tattosha karanam. For such a person, there is no other way of pleasing the Supreme Lord. Not for everyone. For one who is qualified for pure devotional service, he need not perform his prescribed duties. His way of tattosha karanam is shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, bhada sevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedram. That is his way of pleasing Vishnu. But for one who is not yet reached that stage of completely dedicating his life to pure devotional service, for him, Swadharmena. He should also perform his Swadharma. At the same time, Mam Nityam Bhajate. Both. So, then, Bhagavad Gita also confirms this as the process of Karma Yoga. Swakarmanam tam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. One need not change one's occupation. They only need to install deities in their home and worship them with honest labor. Then when the Lord is pleased, one's mission in life is fulfilled. Okay. So, Prabhupada is commenting on two phrases here. Okay, basically the focus of the purport is two things. What has he focused on? Swadharmena Mam Nityam Bhajate. Okay, Shraddhayanvita. Okay, one need not change as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs the Brahmana. What does he say? Tanuvan Manobhya. So he says that, no, you need not change anything. stay where you are and worship, or keep continuing with the prescribed duties. So therefore, the injunctions are based on one's qualification. So here, this injunction is for a person who is treading the path of either Bhakti Mishra Jnan or Bhakti Mishra Yoga. So he starts by, in the early stages, he continues to perform his prescribed duties, and slowly when he progresses further, then he gives up the prescribed duties, and eventually he attains, he merges into the Brahma Jyoti. That is his desire. That is coming in the next verse. Then he says, Parityakta guna samyak darshano vishadashayaha shantim me samavastanam brahma kaivalyam ashnute. Parityakta gunaha. By gradually following this process, that person becomes devoid of the influence of gunas. Samyak darshana, by seeing correctly, vishada ashaya, with pure mind, shantim ashnute, he attains peace. And what is this? This is the Brahma Bhuta stage. And me sama avasthanam, it is a position of non-difference. Okay? Brahma kaivalyam, called Brahman or Kaivalya. So eventually such a person, by practice of this Bhakti Mishra Jnana or Bhakti Mishra Yoga, he seeing correctly means he has the right realization. And with pure mind, with purified mind, he attains peace. Sashantim adigacchati. A position of non-difference called Brahman, which means he merges into, he attains Brahma Sayujya. Because that is their desire. So they attain it. So basically he is talking about a person who is at the next level, who has the knowledge of Paramatma, and with that knowledge he practices the path of Bhakti Mishra Jnana. Then such a person attains Brahma Sayujya.
So this is what we have seen till now. And in the next verse he describes further.
Udasinam ivadhyaksham dravya jnana kriyatmanam kotastam imam atmanam yo vedapnoti shobanam.
So what is this samyak darshana? What is this correct vision that Lord Vishnu is talking about, that is described in this 11th verse? What is this samyak darshana? Udasinam yaha veda, one who knows. Udasinam, the indifferent jiva. Adhyaksham, one who knows the indifferent jiva as the superintendent of dravya, jnana and kriyatmanam. One who knows the indifferent jiva to be the superintendent of the mind along with the gross organs, subtle sense organs and the sense devatas. Kutastam imam atmanam, and who knows the paramatma, apnoti shobanam, he gains release from this world. So what is this samyak darshan is elaborated. He has already mentioned it before. So not only does he have the knowledge of the paramatma, but that knowledge also includes the previously mentioned knowledge of the difference between body and soul. He has the knowledge of body and soul, difference between them. He has the knowledge of Paramatma. He also understands how this jiva is the superintendent of the mind, body, gross body and subtle body and the sense devatas. He understands all of this, and eventually as a result of this, he attains Brahma Nirvanam. That is described in this 11th verse. So Prabhupada's translation for this is slightly different. Prabhupada writes, one who knows that this material body made of dravya, jnana and kriya is simply supervised by the fixed soul, he is eligible for liberation. More or less same translation only. Here, but Prabhupada translates kutastam atmanam as the individual living entity. Vishnachari Thakur translates kutastam atmanam as paramatma. So Yahaveda, one who knows the indifferent jiva to be the superintendent of gross and subtle body and also has the knowledge of the paramatma, he gains release. That is Vishnachari Thakur. Prabhupada says, one who understands the fixed soul to be the superintendent of the gross body and subtle body, he gains release. More or less same only. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, this verse describes how one can become liberated. How can one become liberated? First point, we should know the difference between the deha and dehi. The soul is kutastha and the body is changing. Kutastha means unchanging, which has one fixed form. This change of body is enacted by the three modes. One who understands this is not affected by incoming and outgoing interactions of modes of material nature. Okay? So such a person is not affected. Swabhavastu pravartate. Na kartritvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karma phala samyogam swabhavastu pravartate. Everything he sees, everything being enacted by the prakriti. So he is not affected. He just tolerates the dualities, which means he is indifferent, udasinam. The practical way of attaining this indifference is devotional service. How to become indifferent? By engaging in devotional service. When one is absorbed in devotional service, he becomes transcendental to the external body, and this is called samadhi. So that's what Prabhupada writes here in the purport. So let's again try to recollect what the Lord has spoken till now. Okay, you can try to recollect. Okay, tell me, what did, how did the Lord start his injunction? Please forgive Indra, as he is praying for forgiveness. Then what did he say? Then he said, intelligent devotees do not harm others as they do not identify with the body. Then he said, the result of acting under bodily identification is useless labor. If one acts under bodily identification, he gets only useless labor. But an intelligent man is not attached to the body. Why? Because he understands that this body is nothing but a result of avidya, kama and karma. He has this realization. Where did he get this realization from? Dirgaya Vriddha Sevaya. Okay. So, if one has the realization that he is not this body, then how can such a person be attached to things which are related to the body? Okay. It is not possible. Okay. Such people with knowledge of the body and soul can further equip themselves, can equip themselves with further knowledge of the super soul, and they can progress further. So he spoke about the super soul, about the difference between the soul and the super soul. And a person who is endowed with that knowledge of the super soul, even though such a person is situated within this body, he is not affected by the three modes. having realized the above knowledge of the super soul, one then endeavors further. The sadhana that he practices is Bhakti Mishra Gyan or Bhakti Mishra Yoga. And the result of such a practice, endowed with pure mind and perfect vision, is the peace of merging into Brahman. Now, what is the result of this practice of this Bhakti Mishra Gyan or Bhakti Mishra Yoga? Brahma Kaivalya. Okay? And what is this perfect vision? Samyak Darshana. What is that Samyak Darshan? He knows the Jiva as the superintendent of the body and senses, and he also knows the super soul. That is this Samyak Darshan. Okay? This is where we have seen till now. We'll go further. So then he says, Binnasya lingasya guna pravaho dravya kriyakaraka chetanatmanah drishtasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo navikriyante mayi labdha sauhrida. Guna pravaha means the force of guna, which means basically samsara. Samsara takes place bhinnasya lingasya only because of identification with the subtle body. What is the nature of subtle body? Dravya kriya karaka chetanatmanah. Samsara takes place only because of identification with the subtle body, which is composed of intelligence, sense objects, sense organs and sense devatas. Okay? Surayaha, but the devotees, Mai Baddha Saurudha, who are bound to me by friendship, Na Vikriyante Drishtasu Sampatsu Vipatsu. But those devotees who are bound to me by friendship are not disturbed on seeing the happiness and distress of this world. So now he is coming to a higher platform. He is not now talking about Mishra Bhakti, but he is now talking about pure devotional service, where the devotees are Mai Baddha Sauhrida, who are bound to me by friendship. They are not at all disturbed on seeing the happiness and distress of this world. So ila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, he comments that, but one may ask, because the previous verse said that udasinam iva adhyaksham, that person understands that the jiva is acting as the superintendent of mind, sense organs, subtle sense organs and sense devatas. Okay, so one may ask, how can the jiva be free from birth and death just by being indifferent to the body and senses, but while simultaneously supervising them? How is it possible? How can he be supervising them at the same time be indifferent to them? So how is it possible, one may ask. So Prabhupada says, here this next verse says that this birth and death is due to identification with the subtle body. Okay, so just by supervising the gross and subtle body, one does not fall into samsara. But when they start identifying with the subtle body, then it leads to samsara. That's what is indicated here. Samsara arises from the subtle body. The subtle body, by identifying with the subtle body, the jiva undergoes samsara, and by detaching himself from the subtle body, he does not undergo. Though he supervises, it is not harmful for the jiva. Though he possesses the subtle body and interacts with it, he does not identify with it. Okay? It has been said that one can become free of samsara the practice of Bhakti Mishra Gyan by striving for it. He has to strive for it. So they have to, the practitioners of mixed devotional service, they have to personally strive to attain liberation. Whereas he says, but my Bhakta Sauhrida, but a pure devotee, even without striving for freedom from samsara, achieves it. We saw in the third canto, 25th chapter, Jarayati Ashu Yakosham Nigirinam Analoyata. You remember? The nature of devotional service was described here. Matlab, how devotional service destroys one's karma or subtle body is described. Jarayati Ashu Yakosham Nigirinam Analoyata. There, devotional service was compared to digestive fire. And we saw three reasons why devotional service was compared to digestive fire. Can you recall? First reason is? Digestive fire is not indiscriminate in destroying everything that is put into it. It destroys the useless part, but it retains the useful nourishing part, and it uses that part to nourish the dhatus. Okay, that is one reason. Second reason. It takes some time to completely digest the food. Similarly, when one starts practicing bhakti, immediately the act of destroying the subtle body starts, but then over a period of time it is accomplished. What is the third reason? The third reason is the relevant reason for this verse. What is the third reason? The third reason that we saw was that when one takes food, one need not separately endeavor to digest it. Automatically digestion happens. Similarly, when one takes up to the path of devotional service, one need not separately endeavor to attain liberation. Devotion or liberation is attained as a byproduct of practice of bhakti. Just as one need not separately endeavor to digest, but other practitioners, they need to endeavor to get out of this material world. They need to endeavor to get out of samsara. Whereas a pure devotee, he need not endeavor to get out of samsara. That's what is indicated here by mentioning na vikriyante mayi baddha sauhrida. They are not at all disturbed on seeing the happiness and distress of this world. They happily perform devotional service and get out of this material world. Which means, practitioners of pure devotional service are shown in this verse to be superior to the practitioners of mixed devotional service by indicating that practitioners of pure devotional service need not make any extraneous endeavor to get out of this material world. Is it clear? That's what is indicated here. The devotee is not disturbed by material happiness and distress because he has no attachment for the world. Why is he not attached to this world? He must have some attachment somewhere. No one can be absolutely detached. He is attached. Mayi baddha sauhrida. He says that he is bound to me by friendship. And this condition arises from pure devotional service and not by any other process. So therefore, like this, the superiority of pure devotional service is established. Do you see the progress? The basic knowledge of difference between body and soul, knowledge of Paramatma, the practitioners of those who have these two levels of knowledge, that is Bhakti Mishra Jnana or Yoga, their attainment of Brahma Nirvana. And but such practitioners have to endeavor to escape samsara, and after escaping samsara they get only Brahma Nirvana. But those pure devotees who are Mai Baddha Saurada, who are bound to me by affection, they need not make any separate endeavor to escape samsara, and after escaping samsara they come and eternally enjoy pastimes with me. And you, Prithu Maharaj, you fall in this category. So therefore you see how elevated you are. Therefore don't get trapped by acting on this platform. Good that you did not get trapped. I am happy. That's what here Lord Vishnu is indicating to Prithu Maharaj. Yeah. Their destination is Shanta Rati. Krishna Chagada says they go to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, but because they do not have pure devotional service, they cannot enter into a solid relationship with the Supreme Lord. But the good news is that is not their final position. They can progress from there. The more they interact with pure devotees, they can progress from there and establish themselves in a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord also. That is possible. So they can, if they continue to practice Jnana Mishra Bhakti, then the utmost they can reach Shanta Rati. Rati means one stage before rasa, the stage of bhava. Till bhava they can reach. But beyond that, if they have to progress, then they have to take up the pure devotional service. Then they may progress into any one of those five rasas. Like that. So So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the question may be raised, if the jiva has to supervise the activities of the body, how then can he be indifferent to its activities? Same thing that Vishnu Chaitanya Thakur, he raised the same argument Prabhupada is also raising. The answer is, because the activities of the soul are completely different from the bodily activities, therefore, one who is not identifying with the body, he can actually be indifferent to the activities of the body, like that. For example, Prabhupada gives an example. A businessman may be sitting in a car, advising the driver and giving directions, but still he is constantly thinking only of his business. Isn't it? Very appropriate example Prabhupada is giving. He may be sitting in the car, telling the driver, go straight and take this road and reach this place. He may be guiding his driver, but at the same time, he is thinking of his business. Similarly, a liberated person, he may do the needful to supervise his gross and subtle body, but at the same time, he is thinking of his business, of going back home, back to God. Similarly, if the jiva becomes completely absorbed in loving devotional service, Mai Baddha Sauhrida, just like the businessman, then he can remain separate from activities of the body, though he supervises it. Okay? This position is possible only for a devotee who is Baddha Sauhrida. A karmi, jnani or yogi is not Baddha Sauhrida. A karmi wants sense gratification, a jnani wants liberation, and a yogi wants siddhis. But a devotee is transcendental because he is Baddha Sauhrida. Because he is bound to Krishna in friendship. Therefore, to remain aloof from bodily activities, is only possible if one engages in devotional service. That's what Prabhupada writes here.
So here it is, while jnanis have to strive for liberation from samsara, the devotees easily attain it without striving for it. This is because they are bound to the Lord by loving friendship. This is still the 12th verse. Okay. So we have another 3 verses in this section. Okay, we will complete this and then we'll take a break. Okay. So then he says,
samasamano tamamadyamadama suke cha dukke cha jitendriyashaya mayopaklutta kila loka samyuto vidatsvavira kila loka rakshanam.
O vira, O hero, samaha sukecha dukkecha, therefore being equal in happiness and distress, samana uttama madhyama adamaha. Okay, samana means treating equally, uttama, madhyama and adama, treating the high, middle and low living entities equally. Jita indriya ashaya, controlling the mind and senses. And maya upaklipta akila loka samyuta, and equipped with all types of persons who have been supplied by me to you to take care. Vidatsva akila loka rakshanam, please engage in protecting all the people. Okay, even though you have been ordered to give up your pursuit of that 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, you have been asked to refrain from experiencing or enjoying the fruit of that 100th Yajna, don't give up your duties also. Engage in protecting your, because Prithu Maharaj may say, theek hai abhi aap kya bol rahe hain mujhe, chhod do bol rahe hain na, to chhod deta hun. I will give up my responsibility also. Okay, because it is natural when we are asked to not enjoy the fruit, naturally the natural thought process is, why suffer in doing that activity itself? I might as well give up the activity. And the mind will tell, this is more detachment. But it is not detachment, it is just pendulum swinging the other way. Okay? Because attachment to fruits is passion, and when that passion is curtailed, the pendulum swings to ignorance. Ignorance means give up responsibility. So aprakasho apravritti. Pravritti is passion, and with pravritti comes ragi karma phala prepsur. This is the characteristic of rajas, karma phala prepsur. He is very much interested in enjoying the fruits. That is what is pushing him towards activities. The moment you say no fruits, he says zoom, apravritti, no action, because there is no fruit. Okay, so therefore here Lord Vishnu says, मैं आपको काली वो 100th अश्वमेध यज्ञ को मत करो बोला, but your other responsibilities you may do and you should do, don't give it up. That's why Krishna says mate sangostu akarmani, ma phaleshu kadachana, don't enjoy the fruits
Ma karma phala hetur, but don't think that you are the cause of the fruits also. But at the same time, ma te sangosto karmini, don't get attached. Don't let the pendulum swing to the other side also by giving up your responsibility. Don't be attached to not doing your activity also. You do your activity. Like that. So, thus being equal in happiness and distress, treating the high, middle and low living entities equally, controlling your mind and senses, please engage in protecting all the people. Don't give up that prescribed duty. So, he says that here Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, because the previous verse he said that the devotees are Mai Baddha Sauhrida. So they can easily attain escape from samsara without any external effort. He says, my dear Prithu Maharaj, you are one such Mai Baddha Sauhrida. Which will become very clear in Prithu Maharaj's prayers. Prithu Maharaj, bindas he opens up. What kind of service I want also he tells. In the spiritual world, how I want to serve you also he explains to the Supreme Lord in his prayers. This is how I want to serve. Like that. So he says, you are Mai Baddha Sauhrida. You fall in this, you are bound to me by friendship. Okay? So therefore I am going to give you some instructions. Because you are willing to hear, you are bound to me by affection. Therefore, please follow these orders. So he gives him instructions in four verses, 13, 14, 15 and 16. Okay? First he says, be equal in material happiness and distress. Treat equally those who are elevated, ordinary and degraded in gunas. And control the mind and senses, like that, and protect the citizens. Four things. Okay. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, here is an example of receiving direct order from the Lord. One has to execute it, whether receiving it directly from the Lord or from his representative. This is Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. That is taking the order as one's life and soul. One should not care so much about his liberation. If one sticks to the orders of the spiritual master, he will remain in the liberated position. Ihayasya Harer Dasya Karmana Manasagira Nikilaswabi Avastasu Jivan Muktasa Uchyate. A common man, by following the Lord's order in the form of the Varnashram rules, satisfies the Lord. A common man, if he follows the Lord's order in the form of practicing the Varnashram rules, he certainly satisfies the Lord at one level. Here Prithu Maharaj is a Baddha Sauhrida. He is bound to the Supreme Lord in affection and is also asked to keep aloof from bodily activities. This means that one can remain in intimate connection with the Lord and execute his orders if one sincerely keeps aloof from the activities of the body. So Prabhupada here is talking about two levels which we have already seen. One is one who performs his Varnashram duties also and worships the Supreme Lord also. That is one level. But the highest level is Baddha Sauhrida. And such a person, he is completely surrendered and he gets direct orders from the Supreme Lord. In terms of mixed and unmixed, I am telling. Mixed and pure devotional service. Not Yoga Ruda, Yoga Rudraksha. That is another categorization. Here we are talking about mixed and unmixed. Mixed and pure devotional service. Baddha Sauhrida and one who is not Baddha Sauhrida. Others, whether they practice Varnashram or they practice Jnana Mishra Bhakti, whatever it may be, they are not Baddha Sauhrida and they do not get direct orders from the Lord. their orders are the scriptural orders. Whereas a pure devotee, the Lord comes and directly instructs also, or through his spiritual master, he gets instructions like that. When we are sincere, the Lord helps from within as super soul and from without as the spiritual master. Therefore, one has to accept a spiritual master and not consider him as an ordinary person. And under his instructions, he should perform devotional service. Then one can constantly remain free from bodily contamination. Like that Prabhupada writes. So here, the Lord is giving instructions to Prithu Maharaj. So he is telling, therefore, be equal in happiness and distress, treat everyone equally, control your mind and senses, and engage in protecting all the people. So, if you do this, if you protect your people nicely, okay, then Prithu Maharaj may ask, what is my benefit? Anyway, you have told, don't do the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. So, abhi, on top of that, you are telling, you do your duty also nicely. Abhi, mujhe kya benefit milne wala hai, ye sab karne se? So, what is the benefit that I am going to get? So, Lord Vishnu is telling Prithu Maharaj in the 14th verse, Shreya Prajapala Nameva Rajyo Yat Samparaye Sukrata Sashtamamsham Hartanyata Hita Punya Prajanam Arakshita Karaharo Vamati. Prajapalanam eva rajnyo shreya. It is most beneficial for the king to protect his population. Don't think that you are protecting your population is benefiting only the population and not you. You are protecting the population is most beneficial for you more than them. How? He says, Prajapalanam eva rajnyo shreya. How? Yet sukrita shashtamamsham. Because if you protect them and if they live a dharmic life, then the king enjoys 1/6 of the pious act of the citizens. How many citizens are there in this Bhumandal? All of their 1/6 piety you will get. Okay? Samparaya, in your Samparaya, in your next life. Anyata, if you do not protect them. Arakshita prajanam, otherwise not protecting the citizens. Harta hrita punyaha karaharaha agam atti. They take his pious acts. Because it was whose responsibility? King's responsibility. So the citizens will take all your pious acts. Adbaiki Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You may be chanting. And you may be doing your activity, and he says, "Chhod do in logon ko, main kyun karun?" So all the pious acts you think you are gaining will be siphoned out, and it will all be enjoyed by your citizens. And for doing all these so-called pious activities, you will get only sins, because of not protecting your citizens. Your citizens are committing sinful activities and you will get their sins. So therefore, don't think that you will have a very easygoing life by renouncing your responsibility. It will completely backfire. Okay? So don't give up your responsibility. Ensure you protect your citizens nicely. Because your welfare is there in their protection. If they are protected, you can enjoy. If they are not protected, your so-called hope of enjoyment is only an illusion. You will be wondering, where from I got so much impious credits. Like that.
There is no king in the 11th chapter also that they were taken
here, what will Prithu Maharaj do if he takes shelter of Mukunda? What is Mukunda telling him? Mukunda is telling, take responsibility. Then what is surrendering to Mukunda? Means for Prithu Maharaj, it is taking responsibility. Okay. Because Mukunda himself is coming and telling him, take responsibility. Which means he should take responsibility. Any person who has some subordinates. Not to discourage any accepting responsibilities. But then he says that you accept and do it well. Because this mood of giving up responsibility is the greatest pitfall actually in one's progress, because it carries over. And it is the greatest stumbling block, especially in Brahmacharya Ashram. Because it's a voluntary organization. Because it's a voluntary organization means no one can force anyone to take any responsibility. So it's quite dangerous actually. So if one does not voluntarily come and take any responsibility, then it creates lot of troubles. That's a whole different subject matter. So maybe...
Huh? You have three classes.
Huh?
Yeah, you're
going ahead. So, because if you see, in one sense, our stay in Brahmacharya Ashram is like, in one sense, defying the Varnashram. Okay. In one sense, I am not telling it's actually defying, because how many of us know that if we really have the exact psychophysical makeup to actually be in this ashram, in one sense. But if you see outside world, the Varnashram system is so scientifically made that automatically it pushes you forward. Like if you see in college life, till college life, no one has any responsibility. People have very carefree lifestyle. But after they get married, and once they get a family to take care of, wife is there, children are there, suddenly the person becomes, he is forced to become little selfless. He starts sacrificing. Suddenly that mode of sacrifice is forced, and he happily does it because of affection. But in Brahmachari life, if you see, that opportunity is not there in one sense. If you do not take that responsibility yourself, that is not there. And if that is not there, then there is all the more a chance of becoming more and more selfish and self-centered. And the more one becomes selfish and self-centered, then the more people will go away from you. Because in householder life, naturally, you are, because of affection, because they are part of you, one starts becoming selfless and he starts sacrificing. But in Brahmachari life, so therefore naturally you get reciprocation also. One gets that reciprocation from the family members, because everyone is sacrificing. The mother is sacrificing for the children, the father is sacrificing for the wife and children. So that element of sacrifice naturally strengthens the emotional bond. But in the Brahmacharya ashram, if we do not voluntarily, because we are not related by blood in one sense. Now, blood is thicker than water, for sure. So the kind of sacrifice that you see in the actual family members, unless we cultivate it, it naturally comes. No one takes any class for that. But in the ashram, because people are not related by blood, it does not naturally come. It has to be cultivated. And if it is not cultivated, and one is lackadaisical, and if one lives a very selfish, self-centered life, then you do not get any reciprocation. And it's only a matter of time before people start feeling lonely. And no one loves me. No one takes care of me. Everyone is in their own world, you know. And then it becomes very difficult to sustain. So therefore, in a voluntary organization, unless there is this overwhelming fire of reaching out and serving other people, then it's very difficult to actually sustain. Like if you see, I remember this last year we had this we had one corporate they had a meeting here. I was asked to participate in that. Not Nexus, something similar to that. There were many CEOs and many people from voluntary social service organizations who had come and who had who had developed that organization from grassroots level. Okay, and you saw them and they came and spoke. They are doing some very, very, you know, from our point of view, you know, very superficial kind of social work. But still, that mood of selfless service was so powerful that, it was like, you know, such may, you know, my hair stood on end when I heard them speak. Even though it was on a superficial level, but to hear the kind of sacrifices that they had to go through, you know, such highly educated people. But, you know, in ISKCON you join, you get your dhoti, kurta and three times hot prasad and everything, you know, nice place to stay, nice association, morning, evening, nice dancing, kirtan, and it's so nice classes. But these people, the kind of hardships that they had to go through and struggles, you know, it was like really unimaginable to hear. So I was just wondering, like, if that overwhelming enthusiasm and the drive to sacrifice and serve others is not there, then it becomes very difficult. And Varnashram naturally induces it in the life of... and this is the age, you know, 23, 24 is the age when a male takes up responsibility. He starts working. Forget about Varnashram. All over the world, in any kind of society you see, is 22, 23, around this time, this is the age when a male takes up responsibility, higher responsibilities. Because that is needed to keep the mind also, you know, calm and steady. But in a voluntary organization, in an ISKCON-like voluntary organization, it is voluntary. You may choose to take responsibility or you may not. But if one does not take, then it becomes very difficult to keep the mind stable. Because mind needs that anxiety, you know, that sort of, you know, not exactly anxiety, but that healthy pressure, okay, is definitely needed to keep it running. Otherwise, it leads to mental problems, mental issues, which will escalate into physical health problems. So all these things, you know, so it's all connected. But why did we come to this topic? Taking responsibilities. Prithu Maharaj taking responsibilities. Okay, so that's taking responsibilities like a very, very pivotal thing in one's stay, especially in that way we can sort of because that is one aspect where we are really defying, where we can actually defy the varnashram. Okay, that naturally at this age one takes up responsibility, but in a voluntary organization no one will ask, in one sense, if you are not properly engaged, then you know it's ideally one should be, but one always has, see, but the point I'm trying to make is, in a voluntary organization there is a limitation to which a person can be pushed. In the outside world, if you do not work, you get a pink slip, it's cutthroat. But in a voluntary organization, it cannot be kept cutthroat. One can be inspired, one can inspire people to take up responsibilities, but that also beyond a limit, one cannot be pushed. So therefore, if we do not have the our own drive to take up responsibility, reach out to people and do something to uplift them, if that drive is not there, then it becomes a problem. Then it becomes difficult to survive in a voluntary setup, actually. Like that. Yeah. Okay. See, basically, where we started this is this habit of trying to evade responsibilities. That is very dangerous, actually. Because it has much more, because it starts a whole snowball effect. That's what we discussed now, no? You evade responsibilities. Slowly, by evading responsibilities, what happens is people, if you are evading responsibilities, you lose relationships. Because no one wants to establish a relationship with a person who does not want to take responsibility. Because true friendships and true relationships can happen only between two responsible people. Irresponsible people can have a very superficial drinking and smoking relationship only, or something on that level. So only true relationships can happen only on between two responsible individuals. So when one has this habit of evading responsibilities, then he will lose out on true relationships. Once he starts losing out on true relationships, then he will feel lonely. If he feels lonely, then it's just a question of time before he, you know, wants a change. Like that. Okay, we'll continue. Okay, that's something he says. Okay, we'll continue. Evam dvijadvya numatanu vritta dharma pradano nyatamo vitashaya hrasvena kalena gruhopayatan drishtasi siddhana niratta lokaha.
Dharma pradana, being the leader in dharma, anuvritta, traditionally handed down, dvija agre anumata, and approved by the best of the brahmanas, being unattached to your position, protecting the earth, and being loved by the people, you will see great saints coming to your house in a short time. So he is telling, by properly leading a dharmic life which is approved by the brahmanas, and being unattached to your position and protecting the earth. Basically, he is telling if you perform your duties nicely, you will be loved by the people. Same thing here, you know, the point that we discussed. You take your responsibility as a king properly, then you will naturally be loved by the people. And then, eventually, you know, great saints will visit you and keep enlightening you during your reign as the king. So you will be greatly benefited. Like that, Lord Vishnu is giving instructions at the same time predicting to Prithu Maharaj that, you know, this is how it will continue. Text 14, Prabhupada's purport. So Prabhupada writes, the question arises, if everyone is engaged in activities of spiritual salvation and becomes indifferent to material duties, then how will things go on? Because he is talking about Mai Baddha Sauhrida, acting on the platform of loving devotional service, which means no need to perform one's prescribed duties. Then the question arises, if everyone acts on that platform by not performing their prescribed duties, then how will things go on? Okay? In response to this, the Lord says, Shreyaha. The Varnashram system is not blindly created. All the four Varnas have to do their duties, and by that they can achieve perfection. Here the Lord is recommending Prithu Maharaj not to give up his kingdom, but rule it nicely. It is the king's duty to take care of the spiritual progress of the prajas. Otherwise, he will be implicated in sinful acts. If a king can ensure that the citizens become Krishna conscious, then he can levy taxes, otherwise he cannot. If he doesn't care for their spiritual progress, but still levies taxes, then he will go to hell. The same is true with those taking the role of parents and spiritual master also. Otherwise, there will be rogues and thieves in society, and then there will be war and pestilence. Like the Prabhupada writes. But so, that's what Prabhupada says, that you cannot let anyone, of course, once Prabhupada has asked, if everyone becomes Krishna conscious, then how will things happen? So it's not like that, you know. So basically here Prabhupada is writing that at least people in responsible positions to set the right example, and if they have dependents, then they should continue with their prescribed duty to set the right example. Okay, that is a part of their prescribed duty. Like for example, that's a part of their devotional service. Then their performing prescribed duty is devotional service, pure devotional service for them. Okay? And by giving it up, one should not think that because in this case the citizens, they may not be on the platform of pure devotional service. So therefore, if Prithu Maharaj does not perform his prescribed duties, if he does not do his responsibility, then they will unnecessarily
try to imitate Prithu Maharaj and give up their responsibility, give up their activity for which they are qualified for. So therefore, for people in responsible positions, throughout Bhagavatam you see, they have been always encouraged to not give up their kingly duties unless they have a successor ready. When Dhruva Maharaj left, his son was ready. When the Pandavas left, Parikshit Maharaj was ready. When Parikshit Maharaj left, Janmejaya was ready. So like that, yeah. But he made perfect arrangements for everything to be taken care. There is no description of the citizens of Ambarish Maharaj, you know, suffering due to improper rule. He perfectly managed it. So he managed it so nicely that he had all the time to engage in core devotional activities. King Kulashekar also, he did that. Such devotees are very expert and efficient. You know, they know that, you know, if I don't expertly manage, then I will not get time for my being performing my sadhana. So those people who do not value their sadhana, such people, they do not plan properly. Those who really value, they actually plan nicely and execute their other duties very expertly, so that they have time to perform their sadhana nicely. So Prabhupada writes here in the purport, though the Lord advised Prithu Maharaj to follow his Varnashram properly, in today's day and age, Varnashram is topsy-turvy. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the only way of perfection, and this can be followed by everyone. And Prabhupada also commenting on Dvija Agrya Anumata Anuvritta means, traditionally handed down and approved by the best of the Brahmanas. Okay, so commenting on that, Prabhupada writes, one should follow the instructions of great saints like Parashar, Manu, Rupa and Sanatan in Parampara. Then we can liberate ourselves from material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one need not change one's position. One simply has to follow and apply practically the Parampara instructions in his life. Then one is assured to go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada here is commenting on this. Dvija Agrya Anumata Anuvritta. Traditionally handed down and approved by the best of the Brahmanas, which means Parampara instructions. Therefore the change that is required is change of consciousness and not the body. Okay, like that. Finally, the Lord says, Varam chamatkan chanamana vendra vrineshvate ham gunashila yantrita naham makairvai suladastapobir yoge navayat samachitta varti. O Manavendra, O king of men, Varam chamatkan chana vrineshva, ask for any benediction from me. Aham te gunashila yantrita. I am completely controlled by your qualities and nature. Na aham makaihi vai sulabahat tapobir yogenava. I am not easily attained by sacrifices, difficult austerities or yoga. Yet samachitta varthi, because in all these practitioners' heart, I am situated neutrally as Paramatma, and as Paramatma I am Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. But in a devotee's heart, I am present as Bhagavan. What is that? Pravishta karna randrena swanam bhava saroruham dhunoti shamalam krishna salilasya yatasharat.
So, for a, in a devotee's heart, I am present as the Supreme Lord. Okay? So therefore he says,
Yata Bhaktir Mamorjita. What is that verse? 11th canto verse.
Na Sankyam Dharma Uttava Na Swadhyayas Tapastago Yata Bhaktir Na Sadayati Mam Yogo Na Sankyam Dharma Uttava Na Swadhyayas Tapastago Yata Bhaktir Mamorjita.
Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto. But can you read the translation?
My dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees bring me under their control. I cannot be thus controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity or renunciation.
Yeah, so that's what Krishna tells here. So, ask for any benediction from me, my dear Prithu Maharaj. I am controlled by your qualities and nature. And don't think that it is easy to control me. I am not controlled by any of these other practices. Because I relate to these other practitioners only in the capacity as a Paramatma. So therefore, as Paramatma I am neutral. But as Bhagavan, I am controlled by my devotees. Therefore, these practitioners can never control me. Like that, here Lord Vishnu is telling Prithu Maharaj. So, here Srila Vishnu Chakri Thakur writes that the Lord says, I am controlled by your good qualities and behavior. Because it is impossible for the Lord to be attracted by material qualities, Prithu Maharaj's qualities have to be spiritual, arising from bhakti. Material qualities can never attract the Supreme Lord. Yasyendriyam vimatitum kuhakair nashekuhu. No material qualities can ever attract the Supreme Lord. I am not obtained by other processes because I am situated in their hearts neutrally as the Upadrashta and Anumanta. And I am not controlled by them. Rather, I am their controller as Anumanta. So Prabhupada writes here in the purport that the Lord says, I am not pleased by the other processes, but I am only pleased by your qualities. And Prabhupada says, such qualities can develop only by bhakti. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura. And such qualities are 26 in number. And Prabhupada talks about the 26 qualities. When one becomes a pure devotee and develops all these qualities, then the Lord is pleased, and for such a person liberation is assured. Like that Prabhupada writes here in the purport. Okay. So now let's try to recall the instructions that Prithu Maharaj has, that Lord Vishnu has given Prithu Maharaj. Okay. So first he said, please forgive this Indra, as he is praying for forgiveness. Then, what did he say? Intelligent devotees do not harm others because they do not identify with the body. Then, result of acting under bodily identification is only labor. Then, but an intelligent man is not attached to the body because he knows that this body is a result of avidya, kama, karma. How did he get this realization? By dirgaya, vriddha, sevaya. Okay. Then, how can such a person who is not attached to his body be attached to things related to the body? like wife, children, house, wealth, etc. Okay? And such a person, okay, with the knowledge of the difference between body and soul, can equip himself further by the knowledge of the super soul. And then, a person endowed with the knowledge of the super soul and the difference between body and soul, such a person is not affected by the gunas. And such people, by practice of Bhakti Mishra Yoga or Bhakti Mishra Jnana, he endeavors for achieving liberation. And through that endeavor, he achieves the liberation of merging into Brahman. Okay? And such a person is endowed with perfect vision. What is that perfect vision? He knows that Jiva is the superintendent of the gross body and subtle body, and he also knows the super soul. And such a person, by endeavor, attains liberation. Okay? But then the question arises, but how can the Jiva become free of samsara by being the superintendent? He is supervising the gross and subtle body. How can he be free of that? He says, by superintending there is no problem. The problem is with identifying with the subtle body. Okay? And by detaching oneself from that subtle body, even though one may be supervising it, one can still get free from samsara. And a person practicing this mixed devotional service, they have to endeavor to achieve this liberation. But the devotees easily attain this liberation because they are mai baddha sauhrida, because they are bound in affection, they are bound to the Lord by loving friendship. Okay? And because you are bound to me, Prithu Maharaj, in such a loving friendship, therefore I am going to give you some instructions. What are the instructions? Protect all your citizens by being equipoised in happiness and distress, by being equal to all citizens, and by controlling your mind and senses. And you should protect them because it will be beneficial for you. How? Because if you protect them, you will get a part of their piety, and if you don't, they will share your piety and you will get their sins. Now follow the dharma and protect the citizens, and by doing that you will be loved by your citizens, and then saintly persons will come and give you their association. Now, because I am very much controlled by your qualities and nature, ask for any benediction from me. And it is not easy to please me through other processes such as yoga, jnana or tapa. I am controlled only by devotional service. Or I am controlled only by qualities, which, and the only way to achieve those qualities is by practice of devotional service. Like that, Lord Vishnu has given instructions to Prithu Maharaj. Okay, so we will take so we have two options. So Prithu Maharaj's prayers is starting from 23rd verse. Okay. So either we can take a break and leave by 8:30, or go ahead and finish off by 8:15. 8 o'clock should we stop? Whatever, I'm okay. So by 8 o'clock we will complete. So 8 o'clock till 8 o'clock, whatever we complete, we will complete. Okay. And tomorrow we will try to take the prayers of Prithu Maharaj. Okay? Okay, so Maitreya continues further. He says, Maitreya uvacha sayittam loka guruna vishvaksenena vishvajit anushasita adesham shirasa jagruhe harehe. Sa ittam loka guruna anushasita. When Prithu Maharaj was so instructed by Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is Loka Guru, Saha Vishwajit Adesham Shirasa Jagrahe. Prithu Maharaj accepted those instructions on his head, which means with great respect and attention, he accepted those instructions. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, the proper way to receive instructions in parampara is given here. Prabhupada says, one has to accept the instructions by bowing down, and one has to take everything as it is, with great care and attention, with great respect, and do not amend, add or alter. Who wants to recall? As it is, bowing down with great respect, care and attention, not amending, altering or adding. Okay, like that 5 points Prabhupada says here. Okay, then Sprishantam padayo premna vriditam svena karmana shatakratam parishvajya vidvesham visasarjaha. Shatakratam premna parishvajya, affectionately embracing Indra, vriditam svena karmana, who was very much ashamed of his actions, sprishantam padayoho, and touched his feet. He touched Prithu Maharaj's feet. Vidvesham visasarjaha, he gave up hatred for Indra. Okay. Prabhupada here writes in the purport, there are many cases in which an offender becomes repentant. Though Indra was so powerful, he was repentant of his aparad. This is because the Lord never forgives an offender. Prabhupada gives the example of Ambarish Maharaj and Dhruvasman. From Prithu Maharaj's side, he didn't want Indra to fall at his feet. Therefore, he lovingly embraced Indra. There was envy and animosity between both. But as Vaishnavas, they forgot and forgave. This is the example of first-class behavior of Vaishnavas. But in today's world, because people are not Vaishnavas, they perpetually fight without finishing the mission of human life. The mission of human life is not at all moving forward. And people are so engrossed in fighting over small things. Therefore, there is great need to propagate Krishna consciousness so that even if there is anger and malice between people, it can be adjusted without difficulty. Not that there won't be disagreements or anger. There will always be provoking situations, but if one is Krishna conscious, then they can handle it in a gentlemanly way. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, therefore there is a great need to propagate Krishna consciousness, so that even if there is anger and malice between people, it can be adjusted without difficulty. Like that. Yeah, that is our understanding. He was already, see, he, when he saw Indra doing this, he was seeing Indra not as a person who was stopping his sense gratification. He was seeing that, why is Indra acting in such irreligious way? That was the reason for him becoming angry. He was not attached. What is the proof? When Brahma said give it up, he gave it up happily. And it is mentioned that he developed vatsalya towards Indra, which means he was not attached. That's why the Lord came. Lord came seeing that mood of Prithu Maharaj. So when he was stopped, he immediately gave up. Otherwise, why would the Supreme Lord come? Just to stop that envy? He had no envy. He had given up that envy when Brahma was there. Why did Vishnu have to come after that? What Prabhupada is giving here, there is a great need to propagate Krishna consciousness. If one becomes Krishna conscious, then even though one may be put into provoking situation, then one will know how to adjust it without difficulty. Basically, the personal lesson is, one has to strive to improve one's Krishna consciousness. Then yasyasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura, then all good qualities will automatically manifest. So basically one has to become serious in one's own practice of Krishna consciousness, and also one should, as Prabhupada writes, there is a great need to propagate Krishna consciousness so that even though if there is anger or malice between people, it can be handled without any difficulty. Can be adjusted without any difficulty like that. Prithu Maharaj could do it because he was a very exalted devotee. Otherwise, last minute stopgap adjustment is not possible. It's not a mental adjustment that he is doing. He could do it only because of his spiritually advanced state. That was the reason. See, we might be forced to think that, see, Prithu Maharaj's external act was just a manifestation of his internal devotional service. So to completely attribute Vishnu's coming to meet Prithu Maharaj to one external act is not the completely appropriate reason. That's what. See, so what is that external act you are asking? See, internal mood, that's what we have been discussing. Now, he was not attached to his personal honor. See, Brahmaji, one would have completely misunderstood Prithu Maharaj if Brahmaji had not come. Probably Vishnu would have still come, we do not know. But Brahmaji's coming and instructing Prithu Maharaj clearly showed what Prithu Maharaj's level was. Because he had absolutely no malice. He didn't feel regretful at all. In fact, when he said, "Chhod do usko," you know, he's very stubborn. And he said, okay. He gave it up and he in fact felt great affection for Indra. So which means, first case he was not at all attached for it. He felt, why would he feel affection? Because he felt very sympathetic. Because Indra was on a different level and Prithu Maharaj was on a completely different level. So, and Brahmaji brought out this quality of Prithu Maharaj. So when he came and stopped, then one could see Prithu Maharaj. Otherwise, he was not. Indra was fighting on one level, Prithu Maharaj was also fighting. But both were fighting for a different cause. And only when Brahma came and stopped, people could understand why was Prithu Maharaj fighting. So then, in this whole thing, Vishnu could have come any time. So therefore, I would not say that external act would have triggered Lord Vishnu to come. Maybe it was timed in such a way so that, you know, Indra also learns his lesson. The whole world can see, you know, what is this, who is this Prithu Maharaj. For probably for that reason it was orchestrated that way. It could be, no one can understand the intentions of the Supreme Lord. But the fact is, to attribute that one particular external action as the reason for Vishnu to come, I would say is probably not completely correct. Because that external act is just a manifestation of the internal state of devotion that Prithu Maharaj always had. Not at that moment it manifested. This is my understanding. You want to add something? Yeah, if someone wants to add, you can add. Yes, Samarpan Gopra. Huh?
I think about, yeah, because it is impossible for the Lord to be controlled by material quality and conduct. Prithu's qualities and nature were all spiritual, arising from bhakti. So he is giving these qualities also.
Which
qualities? He had the qualities of mercy.
Those 26 qualities Prabhupada writes. Achha.
Mercy, he has qualities of mercy,
affection,
forgiveness, nature of humility,
and affection. Yeah. Maybe these qualities, you know, were clearly seen in this episode. But definitely, you know, it was like, in one sense, like orchestrated very nicely, and Brahmaji also acted as a very nice instrument to bring out this whole glory of Prithu Maharaj. Hmm. 2 minutes. Let's see if we can complete one verse. Okay, yeah, one verse will complete. Bhagavanata Vishvatma कृतनोपकृतार्हणः समुज्जिहानाय भक्त्या गृहीत चरणाम्बुजः. Prithu Maharaj offered all items to the Supreme Lord, the soul of the universe, and grasped this lotus feet with ever increasing bhakti. Okay. So he grasped the lotus feet of Lord. When a devotee, Prabhupada writes, when a devotee becomes advanced, these ashtasattvika vikaras start appearing in his body due to ecstasy, and they should not be imitated. Since the Lord is Bhakta Vatsala, the transcendental ecstatic transaction between the Lord and his devotee is not material. So one should not think that, you know, such a sentimental devotee this Prithu Maharaj is. What is he doing? Like that. So we'll stop there. Let Prithu Maharaj hold Lord Vishnu's lotus feet for one full night. And we can continue tomorrow morning. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
I got you that one question. You can write the blue option. Lord's, yeah, 50 marks, one question. Lord's instructions to Prithu Maharaj, some important points from the book.